Some crimes are so shocking, they don't just make headlines, they forever change our society. I'm Katie Ring, host of America's Most Infamous Crimes. Each week, I take on one of the most notorious criminal cases. Each case unfolds across multiple episodes, released every Tuesday through Thursday, from the first sign that something was wrong to the moment the truth came out or didn't. Listen to and follow America's Most Infamous Crimes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Welcome in to Vern's post-game show.
Massey not stopping in second and slides into third with a two-run triple.
Here's Josh Vernier.
Wow. Good afternoon. Welcome in. 9-1, the final score. Maybe I'm off base on this. You can let me know. But did the Royals just beat down the Dodgers? Did the Kansas City Royals just lay the smackdown on the Dodgers? 9-1, and it was a rout. Man, you look at these three games against this Dodger ball club, you're going to be hard-pressed to find any team in Major League Baseball that's performed better against the Dodgers than what your boys in blue just did. Ladies and gentlemen, I shouldn't have to work very hard for you to call up and celebrate and discuss this ball club, this victory, this, the 25th victory of 2023. Our phone lines are open. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. 7-6-10. Now, shouldn't have to wait very long, especially when you have more than 19,000 in attendance on another beautiful July afternoon in Kansas City. Not after that game. Not after that game. Again, 913-586-7-6-10. One more time, 913-586-7-6-10. 7-6-10. We'll head inside the Royals clubhouse coming up in just a moment. Expected to hear from one of the victorious boys in blue following this 9-1 victory before they head to Minneapolis to open up a three-game series, the final road trip before the All-Star break. Boy, I don't know where to begin, so I'm going to begin where we always begin, and that is on the mound. Brady Singer. 7 innings of one-run baseball, 4 hits, 4 punch-outs, 3 walks, his 5th win of the season. Team-leading 5th win of the season. As a matter of fact, more than a quarter of the Royals' victories this season have come with Brady on the bump. This is the 7th time in 16 starts in which Brady's Royals walk away victorious. So I understand the numbers aren't always or haven't always been what you may have wanted, certainly not what Brady had always wanted, but he's leading this staff, just like we expected him to at the beginning of 2023. Nobody's won more. Nobody's taken the ball more. And nobody's been the starting pitcher in more Royals victories than Brady Singer. Brady, the base running and putting the ball in play, to me, were by far the three biggest storylines from this 9-1 Royals victory. The base running in that 3-run fourth inning was, well, I'm not going to compare it to the championship teams. I think that's lazy. I think we do that way too often, and it's almost disrespectful to that championship team in 2015. But whether it's Drew Waters going first to third on a bloop in shallow center field, it's Kyle Isbell going first to home on a double to right field from Nicky Lopez, and not a double to the wall, a double to the right fielder. Isbell scores from first. Nicky allows Isbell to score from first because Nicky busts it out of the box for a hustle double. Nicky Lopez with a career-high 4 runs driven in. Brady, the base running, and putting the ball in play. Royals score 1 in the second, 3 in the fourth, 3 in the fifth, and 2 in the sixth. So all 9 runs come in 4 innings. In those 4 innings, the Royals struck out once with a man on. You score 9 runs. You have 15 base hits. You strike out once with a runner on base. Let's bottom line it, ladies and gentlemen. The team is executing. The young hitters are executing. The younger pitchers are executing. I understand what the record says. But here's what I want to know from you. Give me a word to describe your feelings about the second half of the season. We got 78 games to go in 2023. The Royals will not be back here at Kauffman Stadium for another 2 weeks. A 7-game road trip, the All-Star break, and then the Tampa Bay Rays are in town beginning Friday night, July 14th. 78 games to go. Give me a word that describes your feelings about this second half. I know I'm a baseball nerd, so I'm not going to attempt to deny that. But Mikel Garcia and Bobby Witt Jr., how about some nice swings from MJ Melendez today? Drew Waters scores 3 runs. Kyle Isbell picks up his first 2 knocks since returning from the IL. Nick Prado reaches base safely twice. Michael Massey's on his way back. Had a chance to see Vinny Pasquantino earlier today in the press box. So the young guys are here and for the most part are executing. You look at the pitching staff with Brady and Daniel Lynch and Austin Cox and Alec Marsh. You got Cole Reagans on the way. You know Carlos Hernandez is going to get opportunities in the 8th and 9th inning to close down victories. The record is what it is. Nothing that I obviously can do about it. Nothing that you can do about it. For as much as we want this to be a special season that ends in October glory, we've accepted what likely lies ahead for this team, and that is falling short of the postseason. And yet my word to describe how I'm feeling about the second half, excited. Excited, intrigued, at times juiced, like fired up. Now, you keep giving me these 26 and under starting pitchers with a bunch of 25 and under position players behind them. Sure, the ball club has a lot more losses than wins. But if you're going to lose, let's at least learn something. Let's build something. Let's gain some experience to help us down the line. And night in and night out, you're getting 5, 6, 7 of these unproven position players, these guys that are at the center of this evaluation season. So what's your word? 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Let's start off with you. If you're one of the 19,000 in attendance today, let's go to Drew, who's leaving Kauffman Stadium. Drew, you're hitting leadoff. Go for it, buddy.
Yeah, my word for the rest of the season is honestly still kind of checked out. I mean, Brady's ERA is still 5.5 after today. And I kind of just sit up high and I look out at that Arrowhead Stadium and I'm like, that's the team that's going to win, and I just can't wait for the fall. And I'm sorry, but they're just not putting a product out there that puts people in the seats.
Well, okay, fair enough. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for leading off the postgame show. You don't want to hear it. I mean, you dive into Brady Singer's numbers. You see how often the defense let him down early on in the season. Are you familiar with, and it's okay if you're not, but if you're familiar with FIP, fielding independent pitching, it's basically what your ERA would be if the defense behind you made every routine play. Singer's FIP is almost a run and a half lower than what his actual ERA is. So after 7 innings of one-run baseball today, Singer's ERA shrinks to 5.5. His FIP inches closer to the high threes. Brady Singer's leading this staff. Now, again, I've admitted I might be biased because I'm a fan of his. I love his confidence. I love his competitiveness. I love his, you know, same things I say about Scott Barlow. Same things I've said in the past about Brad Keller. Now, there's something to be said about a pitcher that is available. Because it's not as if these guys aren't dealing with nagging injuries or, you know, a bum knee or an ankle that might be barking. But they're there for their teammates. They take the ball and they go out there and do what they can. And today it was more than enough from Brady Singer. Again, 7 innings, 1 run on 4 hits. He picks up his 5th win of the season. Let's go back to the phone calls. Let's go to Karen in Kansas City. Karen, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hi, Vern. Good to
talk
to you.
Hey, Karen, how are you?
Awesome. We are on our way home. What a game. Oh, my gosh. And my word to describe the second half of the season is hopeful.
Nice.
And nervous.
Fair.
So I guess those are 2 words.
Yeah, but those are fair. I'm with you.
I'm nervous that people like Miguel Garcia are going to get dealt. And I just don't
want to. Oh, don't worry about that. He's not going anywhere.
Okay, good. Who do you think are we going to lose?
I think Barlow. And that's the only one I would bet on. Maybe an Olivares, maybe a Nicky Lopez, but I would say Scott Barlow's the most likely, and that's still even a, you know, 55-45 proposition.
Yeah. Okay.
That's just my thought, though.
Well, you're on speaker in my whole group at 4. We just saw a fantastic game, and we are excited.
Well, that's great to hear, Karen. I'm glad you had a good time, and hopefully we get to hear from you moving forward.
Yep.
All right.
Will do.
Royals win 9-1. We go right back to the phone calls and Patrick in Overland Park. Patrick, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead.
All right. How's it going?
All right, man. How are you doing?
Doing good. We just left the ballpark, and I'll tell you what. I swear I thought Andy Reid was in the dugout. Seeing that, of course, somebody runs it kind of reminded me what happens across the street. So. Team looked good, and that's probably one of the best ball games I've seen all year. A good, complete game all around.
100% right. Yeah, yeah. Andy Reid certainly has a way about him of beating down Los Angeles, whether it's the Chargers, you know, it doesn't matter who it is. Even that crazy Thursday night game against the Rams back in the day. Yeah, no doubt. Appreciate the phone call, Patrick. Let's stay in Overland Park and talk with John. You're next up as the Royals win 9-1. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Vern, you know, we just beat the best team in baseball, 2 out of 3, and looked really good doing it. Isn't that, like, something to really feel good about this weekend?
No question.
I love it. Love it. And I've got a word to describe the second half for me. Karen said hopeful, which is what I was thinking, but it's more of like a curious hopeful. I think
right.
I'm more positive and curious in the second half than I've been in the first, and I guess the last thing I would say, and this is something I've just found myself thinking over the last few weeks, is people seem to be down on Bobby Witt and thinking he's, you know, he's not living up to where he was drafted. And all I can say is for years, the Royals have needed a shortstop and wanted a shortstop that could hit 25 to 30 home runs. If the guy hits 250 and hits 25 homers and hits nine and gets 90 RBIs, that is like gold. So he's doing, and he's still young. He's going
right.
to develop. So
right.
anyway, Bobby's doing great. I think the Royals are going to have a nice second half, and I'm excited for it.
Well, that's great to hear. And I love the word curious because I'm with you. You know, I'm naturally optimistic because why wouldn't you be, right? Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I'm naturally optimistic because this game is so flush with failure. If you're a pessimist, I don't understand how you can be a baseball fan. So I'm naturally an optimist, but yeah, a curious optimist. You know, I'm hoping for the best. I wouldn't say I'm expecting the best. It's kind of a blank canvas. You know, what's Alec Marsh gonna do? What's Austin Cox gonna do? How about Cole Reagans? Now, who else are we going to see come up from the minor leagues? Can Michael Massey end the season with a flourish? How about Drew Waters? Can he get hot down the stretch? How about Kyle Isbell? Can he start swinging a quality bat? I'm curious to find those things out. I wouldn't bet on them one way or the other. I'm optimistic. But like you said, yeah, probably more curious than anything else. Royals win 9-1. We'll head inside that Royals clubhouse coming up in just a matter of moments. Let's go to Dave in Kansas City. Dave, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead. That's too bad. Ah, Dave, we're on such a roll. Phone line crapping out on you, bud. Let's go to Big T and Shawnee. Big T, what do you got after the Royals win a series for the first time in a month and a half? And, oh, yeah, it's against the Dodgers.
Hell yeah, Vern. I could listen to this show all day. Everybody calling. Maybe Vern will stay on all day. But first, before I get going on your trivia question, take my hat off to Cody. Way to pull out that. Way to go with the guy from Blue Springs. But, Vern, my word is anxious. I'm anxious to see if this ship will continue in the right direction. I feel they're on the right path. You can just see the growth. So I'm anxious for the second season to get started. I was listening to your on-deck show too, Vern, and you were talking about, sure, it's Brady Singer today going today. We loved his performance. I'm sure it was him, but you said you had thought it was going to be led by the young group of bats. They answered your call, Vern. They must have been listening. Way to go on that, dude. Keep up the great work. And then, Vern, let's talk about Brady Singer. Hell yeah, Brady. 7 innings, 4 hits. He navigated through that tough L.A. lineup. Take my hat off to that guy. I just see a great performance in the future. Continue with him. Way to go, Brady. And then let's talk about those batters. You mentioned some of them. Miguel Garcia, how about that kid? 4 hits again. Man. That dude just sprays the ball all over the field. Way to go, dude. He's a hitting machine. I love the way he's playing, Vern. Keep up the great work. You mentioned Kyle Isabel. Way to go, Vern. Here's a guy who's been hurt. He's been got back, and now he's been trying to find his way, struggling a little bit. He did a great job today. Way to go, Kyle. Keep the great work up. You mentioned Waters on base 4 times. You're seeing growth by that young dude. You're seeing the theme here, all young guys, everybody. And then last but not least, I can't leave out this guy. SNL, steady Nicky Lopez. Way to go. Tied a career record today for him for 4 RBIs. He sat on the bench last night. We didn't even see him kind of fell through the cracks, but he comes in the game last night, and he gets on everybody. He took a walk. Keep up the great work. We love that guy. I hope they don't trade him. If they have to, I know why they will. He'd be a great addition to any team. You know, Berm, they steamrolled those L.A. Dodgers today. They took 2 out of 3. They sent them fans and that team packing. And as always, let's go Royals.
So very baseball. Royals need to win the finale to avoid a sweep at the hands of the Washington Nationals. Need to win the finale to avoid a sweep at the hands of the Oakland A's. And then they slap around the Los Angeles Dodgers. And they split a 4-game series against the Tampa Bay Rays. Denny Matthews says it often, expect the unexpected. Royals win 9-1. They now board a happy flight to Minneapolis to open up a 3-game series against the Twins, and it doesn't get any easier. Now, hey, the mighty Dodgers, which is true. But you got Joe Ryan, Kenta Maeda, and Pablo Lopez coming down the pike at you. Royals will counter with Austin Cox, Zach Greinke, and Alec Marsh. We go back to the phone calls at 913-586-7610. Guy in Lee Summit, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hello, Josh. First of all, you might as well call your show the Kansas City Loyals, because all us loyal fans call your show. I love your show.
Thanks, guy.
Yeah, you bet. And the guy with the choo-choo, I've listened to him for a good few years. Love that guy. I was just going to throw in, I just got through watching the game. There's 6 good core guys. I mean, I'm loving this team. You know, of course, you got Witt. I think Garcia, we found our leadoff hitter. 6-for-8 in the last 2 games. Love this guy. Prado. Pasquantino. There's 4, but I'm throwing in 2. I love them. Drew Waters. He'll roam the outfield. I think he's coming on. And I love Freddie Fermin. I love this guy. He throws guys out. He's got swagger. This team's got some swagger. I'm loving it. Pitching's coming around. I think we're going to do fine second half. I initially wanted a 72 and 90 year. Hey, I don't care if it's 99. I think we can beat under that 100 mark. Quintero, I'm believing in him again. That's all I got to say, but I'm loving the team. Everything's great. I love your show.
Thank you very much. Great attitude, guy. And, you know, I'm certainly with you across the board. Yeah, Bobby Witt Jr., previous caller, said he's heard some people down on Bobby. Maybe. Fine. Let him. But that's just a reflection of someone that's not paying attention. Because if you're watching Bobby Witt Jr. night in and night out, you go, okay, that guy's going to play for another 12 years at least and go to multiple All-Star games. He does something every single day, every single game where you go, wow, I haven't seen many people do it like that. Now, even a routine ground ball, a slow ground ball off of the bat of Mookie Betts in the seventh inning, beautifully charged, great transfer from glove to hand and a bullet to Prado at first. Yeah, getting it done defensively and then at the dish, Bobby goes 1-for-2 with a sacrifice fly, a sacrifice bunt. And he draws a walk as the Royals offense puts up 9 runs to back Brady Singer, who picks up the win. After 7 innings of one-run baseball, it's my pleasure to welcome in Brady Singer to 610 Sports Radio and the postgame show. Brady, what is it about Sunday afternoons against the Dodgers? You seem to thrive against those boys in blue.
I'm not sure. The only thing I know is it's hot as hell. But no, it was good. It was a really, really good team win. I mean, to win a series against those guys, you know, obviously a really good team. That was huge, and, you know, hopefully that turns into a really nice role for us.
108 pitches. How you feeling after that one?
Yeah, I feel good. I mean, I obviously wanted to go out there for the seventh. You know, the bullpen was a little taxed, and, you know, to go out there and throw more pitches than, you know, I'm used to is really good. You know, we always, you know, want the ball for more pitches. So for them to let me go out there and continue, you know, it's huge.
Brady, it's your 5th win of the season, but you've been on the hill for more than a quarter of this team's wins in 2023. I know it always hasn't gone exactly the way that you've wanted it to or the team's wanted it to, but do you feel like you're still leading the way for this pitching staff, that you're still the guy to kind of pace this rotation?
You know, I'm obviously trying to do the best I can and, you know, the most I can, obviously. You know, the wins are huge right now, so to go out there, you know, just do what I can. I mean, no matter if it's going well or going bad, you know, there's something that we can, you know, obviously pull away from each win, and, you know, today was a really good one.
I don't think really much has been easy for you this season. It's been a very professional campaign, I would say, here in year 4 for you. Has it been easy to maintain confidence, that confidence that you've been known for since your days in college?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing you can have when it's, you know, when it's going bad for you or going good, you know, it's confidence. So I do have that, you know, every time I go out, you know, sometimes it doesn't go your way, but that's something that you can obviously carry to the mound and carry to your work, you know, each and every day.
I know you got to go get on the bus and get on the plane. Who's going to be the loudest on the plane on the way to the Twin Cities?
I mean, hopefully it's everybody. You know, it's going to be a good flight, you know, especially a series win. You know, those fights are fun. So, you know, hopefully it's everybody and we're going to have a good one.
Well, you deserve it, man. I appreciate the phone call. Enjoy Minneapolis. Can't wait to see you in Cleveland.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
There you go. Brady Singer joining us after a 9-1 Royals victory. He's going to hop on the bus, hop on the bird, and land in the Twin Cities. And hopefully the boys just keep this train a-rolling. 9-1, the final score. We get right back to your thoughts after this.
Burns Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
Another 2-2, and Junior swings, and it's a ground ball, base in right field, right off the end of the bat. Lopez jogs down from third. And the Royals have 3 in the 4th inning, and they lead 4-1.
They go on to win 9-1, Ryan Lefevre, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. Now, 3 in the 4th, 3 more in the 5th. They get 2 more in the 6th. This was a beatdown, ladies and gentlemen. The Dodgers put a position player on the mound in the 9th inning. Royals took the Dodgers behind the woodshed. Brady Singer, Daniel Lynch, even Alec Marsh, man. I told you back on Friday I was impressed with the young man in his debut. I want to know from you, as we got 78 games to go, give me your word to describe your feelings about the second half. Curious, hopeful, optimistic. First caller of the show said he was checked out, really tried to kill the vibe of this whole post-game show. Personally, excited, intrigued, because there's so much unknown. But I just gave you the starting pitchers for this upcoming series against the Twins. Austin Cox goes in the opener, Alec Marsh in the finale. Now, I pride myself on watching every single pitch from spring training all the way through the 162-game march through the summer. I've seen a lot of Austin Cox. I've seen enough of Alec Marsh, and yet I have no idea what they're going to do at Target Field. I cannot wait to find out. Cole Reagans, the kid you just got from Texas, watching all these young hitters. Garcia, Bobby Witt, who today those two combined to go 5-for-6 with 4 runs driven in. How about the bottom of the lineup? 7-8-9, Waters, Isbell, Nicky Lopez. They combined to go 6-for-12, driving in 5 runs and scoring 6. Brady Singer picks up the win. If you missed it, he just called into the postgame show, and you heard him chuckle when I asked, what is it about these Sunday afternoons against the Dodgers? Almost a year ago, August 14th, Sunday afternoon, the Royals trying to avoid a sweep at the hands of the Dodgers. Brady Singer takes the ball and throws 6 innings of one-hit baseball. Picks up the win. And now that was in a stretch where Brady had won 5 games in a row. Royals weren't trying to stave off a sweep this afternoon. They were trying to win a series. Trying to win a series for the first time in a month and a half, and they did it. Behind a strong performance from Brady, 7 innings of one-run baseball, 108 pitches. Maybe the best afternoon of base running that we've seen from the Royals all season, and a continuation of excellent execution offensively. A continuation that, in my opinion, was really jump-started in that series against Tampa. I know coming into this homestand, that was my big question, was, are you just getting up to face the Chiefs? You know what I mean? It's not difficult for teams to come to Arrowhead and play their A game. You got Mahomes and Reed and Kelce and Chris Jones. You better bring your A game. It's not tough to play. Well, it's not tough to get up for the Tampa Bay Rays. What do you do against Cleveland? What do you do in triple-digit heat against the Los Angeles Dodgers? Do you try to get big? You trying to hit 5-run home runs? Are you just focusing on the task at hand? The latter seemed to be true throughout this homestand. Never more so than today, top to bottom. Even MJ Melendez, who has been going through it offensively, his first 3 trips to the dish, I thought he had 3 very nice swings. A nice swing, fly ball, fly out to center field. Another nice swing in the third as he grounds out to the right side, and then he belts a double down the right field line with 1 out in the 5th. Melendez walked in the 6th and struck out, swinging through 96 in the 7th. Overall, MJ goes 1-for-4, scoring a pair of runs. Royals win 9-1. Let's get right back to the phone calls. Our phone number is 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. It's never a Sunday postgame show until we hear from Chester, and he joins us now.
This is what my theme and word would be: optimistic and learning. But I will first talk about a series win on a Sunday. It's just like coming from something that is a successful sermon. When you got starting pitchers, pitch count, get it up, still in there, saving the bullpen, bullpen coming in and still keeping the Dodgers, a quality team, at one run. Here you doing 9 runs and 15 hits and still some left on. You could got more. This is 6-9, you know, getting scoring runs and putting them in. Oh, yeah, and the 1-4 getting on. This is what it's all about. This keeps you optimistic. It's based upon consistency that produces a character. If you ask someone, do they want to be the one that can lead out and not don't have to be a boastful leader? Well, sometimes leading out can be just as productive as a leader. It just comes to results, consistency, and producing an idea, an ID of character. And that spreads. They start feeding off of one another. They start listening to one another. They start identifying, I want to pick up one that is picking up in different things. Well, that's going to keep me optimistic and have an A learning. But as you learn it, you can have an A or a C. It depends on, hey, Minnesota coming up, and after Minnesota, Cleveland, it's all up to, you can still remain hopeful, but optimistic is based upon producing, executing. They're capable of doing it, but they have to be consistent in doing it, feeding off of one another, partnership, team play, keeping us optimistic, and 19,000 can say amen. God bless you. Keep up the good work.
Royals pick up 8 hits with runners in scoring position. That's the most all season. My game notes following this 9-1 Royals victory are presented by Jay Southland Tow Service. Brady Singer, despite what a previous caller had to say about his season ERA, which we understand, 5.5. But if you've been watching, and I mean watching these games, pitch in and pitch out like I have and like so many of you, especially these names I'm seeing on hold right now, like so many of you have, you know that he's had to overcome some defensive misplays behind him. I can go back to that Detroit start a couple of weeks ago. Right, Bobby makes a play. Brady's going 8 innings of 1-run baseball. Instead, it was 7 innings of 5-run baseball. Nonetheless, look at Brady's last 10 starts. A 3.5 ERA. Almost 6 innings per start. A 3-3 record. 10 starts, 3.5 ERA, giving you almost 6 innings on average. That, my friends, is what I like to call Brady Singer 2022. Now, we all wanted to see 2022 Brady Singer in game one of the year. No doubt, no doubt. But if he can finish this season looking like the guy that we saw a majority of last season, if Daniel Lynch can maintain this spectacular confidence and composure and aggressiveness that we've seen since he's returned, man, what a terrific foundation for this pitching staff moving forward. If you get, well, and I'm not trying to make it about me, but I asked you the question after game 62. What was your hope for the final 100? And I told you my hope was that Brady Singer and Daniel Lynch could form a win day feeling. A win day feeling for these young hitters and a win day feeling for us in the fan base. To where you're driving to Kauffman Stadium and you know Brady's pitching or you know Daniel Lynch is pitching and you think, boy, if they can just scratch across 3 or 4 runs, that's going to be good enough because Daniel and or Brady's going to make it hold up. I'm not saying they're there yet, but we got 78 games to go. And these guys are going to get another 10, 15, knock on wood, another 10 to 15 starts. They can end the season giving us the same feeling that I know Brady Singer gave me to end 2022. And then you just sit back and go, all right, who else is with them? What do you got, Austin Cox, Alec Marsh, Cole Reagans, Anthony Veneziano? No, Chris Bubich when he returns. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. It is official. Salvador Perez, congratulations to the great number 13. He was just announced as an All-Star once again for the 8th time in his Royals Hall of Fame career. maybe his Hall of Fame period career. Salvi's going to the Midsummer Classic. He will be the Royals representative in Seattle in 2 weeks. Congratulations, Salvi. Well-deserved. I could talk about Salvador Perez for the next hour. I didn't get a chance to truly expand on what I wanted to say about the great number 13 earlier today on the On Deck Show. So I'll get to that, but I got to get back to these phone calls. You guys have been waiting patiently, and I appreciate it. Let's go to John in Chanute. John, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Well, this disc jockey is very hopeful, and you can put that in neon. And I'm just so happy for my boys in blue, and I think they're going to do the next game the same way. They're going to just beat their socks off.
I love it. I hope you're right. I appreciate it, John. Let's head back to Kansas City and talk with Lloyd. You're on 610 Sports Radio as the Royals win 9-1, taking the series from the Dodgers. Go ahead, Lloyd.
I'm glad you took my call, man. Hey, you know what? I hear so much of the Royals should implode this team. They should get rid of Salvi. They should get rid of Bobby Witt, start over. That's like a long process of losing. I mean, that's an seven, eight-year process maybe. Now, this team is getting better every game. And they've got players all over the place. I agreed with a previous caller. They said they got four or five players. They do. Let me go through them. Bobby Witt, Salvi, pitching wise, Singer, Melendez, Prado. I think Prado's going to be good. Mm-hmm. Nicky Lopez. I'm not sure about.
No, Michael Garcia. You got to throw him
Daniel
in there.
Lynch, Daniel Lynch. Good. He's going to be a good pitcher. You asked for one word.
Yeah.
I'll give you one word. Relax. Just relax and let it. It'll come. It will. They got to fill in some pieces, but no, they have a good core. They do, and they're getting better. Do you agree?
No question. Yeah, it's undeniable.
Well, I don't know why everybody's up in arms about it. You know what?
Well, because they're 34 games below 500. I mean, you don't know why. I mean, you look at the record. That's why.
Well, I understand that.
Yeah,
but. I know what the record is, and you know what I do every day?
What?
I listen to the Royals on the radio. I listen to Denny Matthews. I love it. And
me too.
I hope they get better.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Appreciate the phone call. Love your attitude. Love the laugh as well. That's a good laugh. Let's go to Josh in Kansas City. Josh, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, this is Josh and my daughter AJ. Enjoyed the game today. Took the family out last night for our first trip to the K the entire year. Got low seats. Dropped my family off for some, my other daughter and wife for some shopping today, and bought some last minute seats, second row. And what a pleasure, what a treat to spend 4th of July weekend watching the Royals play the way they did, watching them, you know, intent in the on deck circle, and just totally outplayed the Dodgers. Really felt like the Dodgers quit. And they quit because the Royals were just relentless all weekend and today especially.
Ooh, I like that, Josh. Josh, I like a lot about that phone call. You seem like a great man, by the way, making sure everybody in the family's where they want to be. Everyone's having a good Sunday, and then Pops gets to enjoy the game with his daughter. Great job, Josh, just as far as a family man, as a father, and as a husband. Great job on your Sunday. But how about that? It seemed to Josh as if the Dodgers quit. Now, I'm not going to say that a Dave Roberts ball club, a Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman ball club is ever going to quit, but I understand what Josh is talking about, right? I'm sitting here watching this game going, man, are the Dodgers just rolling over because their approaches at the dish? Nah, you know what? I feel like that's taken away from the Royals. Because, you know, I'm taking a look at the box score, taking a look at my game notes after this one. You know, I got a leaping catch from Nicky Lopez that robbed the Dodgers of a run in the third. The play that Bobby made on Mookie Betts to finish off the seventh inning, if he doesn't make such a quick transfer and such a strong throw to Nick Prado, who knows? That could turn into a two-run home run one pitch later to Freddie Freeman. So, Josh, I'm with you. But I'm going to catch myself before I go down that road of saying that the Dodgers quit, because it's been way too often this season where the Royals appeared hapless, talentless, rudderless. So for them to keep the foot on the gas pedal, continue to run the bases hard, continue to take the extra 90 feet, refuse to punch out, battle, fight, scratch, claw, man, I can't take anything away from them. And I know that's not what you're attempting to do. It was more just, oh my God, the big, bad, mighty Dodgers got nothing for our boys in blue. I understand what you're talking about. I think you understand what I'm saying as well. Let's head out to Leavenworth and talk with Dylan. You're on 610 Sports Radio as the Royals take the series from the Dodgers, winning the finale 9-1. Hey, Dylan, hello? What's going on, buddy?
Hello?
It's going good.
All right, let's hear from it. What'd you think of the game?
It was a great game. Bobby Witt literally came back in the seventh inning to end it all. So,
but what else did we do?
We crushed the
Beers.
Dodgers. So
it was awesome.
It was an awesome game. I was with my family. I'm 7 years old.
Nice.
We're in the car. We're going to pick up some fireworks.
Ooh, be careful. Who's your favorite Royal, Dylan?
Probably Bobby Witt.
Yeah, hard to argue with that one. Do you got the haircut like Bobby? You got that long hair yet?
No.
No, okay. Yeah, me neither. I wish I could. I wish I could look as cool as Bobby, and I'm sure you're going to when you get out there on the diamond. Dylan, thank you for the phone call, man. I'm glad you had a good time. Let's go to Kyle up in the Northland. Kyle, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Again, if you're just joining us, Salvador Perez heading to his eighth All-Star game. Go ahead, Kyle.
Vern, you know, after a game like today, I had to call in and brag on my boy, Nicky Lopez.
That's
four
right.
RBI for him today. Ties a career high. Shout out to Big T for confirming that for me. But big shout out to Brady Singer, Drew Waters, and Michael Garcia today, too. Sorry for rambling a little too long last time. I'd hang up on me, too, if Scott Barlow was waiting on hold. But Vern, it's ironic that you began the postgame show asking for a word for the second half of the season, because in the sixth inning, I found myself wondering if the campfire is still warm. I know it rained pretty hard the first half of the season and doused our little campfire completely out, but I've been looking around all season just picking up twigs and sticks for kindling, and I'm just wondering if it's time to get another campfire started.
No,
that was a great theme you had articulated through the first month of the season, and I'm ready to bring it back. So gather around, everyone. The fire is going to get warm, and as always, Vern, win or lose, we still listen to you.
Man, you are too good to me, man. I appreciate it, Kyle. Man, a great question. A great question about the campfire. Yeah. You know, yeah. I got a lot to say. I don't know if we have enough time for me to reset exactly for those unaware of what the campfire means for 2023. We got 78 more games to go. We'll have that discussion. I am curious whether or not these names like an Alec Marsh, Austin Cox, them joining what we've seen from Brady and Daniel Lynch, not to mention the undeniable ability of Michael Garcia and Bobby Witt Jr., the hitting of Vinny Pasquantino, right, the return of Michael Massey, what we've seen from Drew Waters and Kyle Isbell today, MJ Melendez, Nick Prado, is that enough to get this fire going? Is it enough to not only get this fire going, but is it enough to bring you back? To bring you back to this campfire that is Royals baseball in 2023, my question coming into the season was, have they put enough kindling around the embers of Bobby and Salvi, around Vinny and Brady, the guys that you were confident in coming into the season that they would perform at a higher-ish level, right? Your stars were Salvi and Singer, Bobby and Vinny, MJ. Those were the guys that, when this season started, you thought you were going to be led by those five. The question was, did this organization put enough pieces around those embers of talent to truly get this fire going? Because you know Kansas City. Kansas City loves its baseball team. I know you guys love the Chiefs. and every city's an NFL town. I get that. But there was nothing that compared to 2014, 2015. There's nothing that compares to a city when its baseball team is good. There's nothing like it. Day in and day out, it's the first thing you think about when you wake up. You can't wait for first pitch. It's, you remember. So on opening day, we all wanted to be hopeful, despite the fact that it certainly didn't seem like there was enough pitching. Certainly didn't seem like there was enough experience in the lineup. But you wanted to believe because we love baseball, we love our Royals, and we wanted to have an entertaining summer. So we all show up to the campfire. We all took our seats around what appeared to be, what aesthetically was going to be, a blaze, right? You got a new coaching staff. You've heard that they're really good at getting these fires started. Again, you got the embers of Bobby and Salvi, of Vinny and Singer. Hopefully this thing starts to roar with some wins early on in the season. Hopefully this evaluation campaign of 2023 ends with a blaze, so much so that J.J. Piccolo and John Sherman pour gasoline on that bad boy in the offseason. A few trades, maybe a free agent signing, and we are full go in 2024. So Kyle asked the question, right? We all sat around in April and that fire never got started. We were just sitting out in the cold, damp, dark, sitting there angry, yelling at one another, complaining about our favorite baseball team. And a lot of you got up and left, and I don't blame you. Not many people were showing up to the campfire in May. It was really just me and Ty and Sedalia in June. And now here we are in July. Is it possible that the campfire starts to fill up? That you come back to the campfire? I hope so. But I know Patrick Mahomes is looming. And I know once that monster shows up, everyone's just going to start following the great number 15. Hey, speaking of, let's go to Ty in Sedalia. Ty, how about that one today, buddy?
That was a good game today. You know, I kind of want to start off this call off with a couple of fun facts from today's game. Well, first off, this is our fourth series win. And you know what's crazy is that three of our series wins have actually came against NL West opponents, the Giants, the Padres, and now the Dodgers. Yeah. And then shout out to Mikel Garcia, a career high in hits today, a four-hit game for Mikel Garcia. But, you know, my man Hurricane Drew Waters, he looked really good today. And, you know, I think I may start thinking he may become that $100 million player one day, watching how he's been lately. You know, 2-for-3 day, also had that hit by pitch and a walk, had an RBI today, and an attaboy to Brady Singer, going 7-of-1 run ball. You know, his last two starts have looked epic. Had that shutout game last start, and then only one run allowed against the Dodgers. Hey, the bottom of the lineup, they look pretty good today. And my one word to explain the second half of the season, you know, I'm excited to see the second half of the series. Hey, let's hope they can take this momentum into Minneapolis in this next series, and let's go make a big win streak and make this summer fun. And how about those Royals?
Oh, man, it sounded like you were about to go choo-choo-choo right there, Ty. Great phone call, man. Expect nothing less from you. Let's go to Steve and Lawrence. Steve, you're on the postgame show as the Royals win 9-1 and Salvi's head into yet another All-Star game.
Yeah, congrats to Salvi. Great show as always. You know, I have two words, not one. I'd call it renewed optimism. You know, I think with this group and what they've been able to show here towards the end of towards the All-Star break is I agree with the discussion on the campfire. I think that was great. I'd actually kind of forgotten about that until he mentioned it.
Me too.
but I think it's a great analogy because you know what? I mean, from the time that you're playing this game as a little kid all the way to a major leagues, the philosophy of success, the one consistent philosophy is you have to have short-term thinking, right? Next game, next inning, next pitch, next at bat. Same applies here. Throw away the first half of the year. Throw it away and start over, right? We've got momentum. Let's see what happens in the second half. I think to build that campfire, I think the challenge for all of us as fans, I think also for, you know, as you're running this show and, you know, throw away the full year record. Let's start over 0-0 starting after the All-Star break and see how this team performs, because I think if this can continue, we might be surprised about what might come together. I mean, last time I called in, you know, there was a lot of consternation about the team and people wanting to have NBA franchises and whatnot instead of the Royals. But one of the things that I had said then and is still, I think, true is, like, you have so much turnover and change in this organization. Maybe, just maybe, it's taken half the season for it to start to click, right? So yeah. Give the coaches time, give the players time to adjust, the roster to adjust, and let's see what can happen in the second half. So my two words are renewed optimism, and I'm looking forward to the second half of the year.
I'm with you. Terrific phone call. Appreciate it. Always nice hearing from you. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. Again, that's 913-586-7610. We go to Chris in Kansas City. Chris, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead, buddy. Hey, Chris, go ahead. Chris, letting us down, man. Been waiting for you. I know you had something good to say, Chris, but instead we're going to Steven, who's in DeSoto. Steven, you're up after the Royals win 9-1. You know what, Steven? We'll get to your phone call. We got to take a quick timeout. I guess I didn't realize how long we've been taking phone calls celebrating this, the 25th win of 2023. We'll take a quick timeout if you're on hold. We'll get right back to your thoughts. We'll also head inside the Royals clubhouse, head inside the Dodgers clubhouse as Dodger manager Dave Roberts just heaping praise on our boys in blue. You'll hear it all after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
So far, there's a swing and a liner down the left field line. It is hooking and it is going to be a fair ball in the corner. Extra bases and an RBI. MJ scores from third. It's a double down the left field line for Drew Waters. Back-to-back doubles. And the Royals lead it 5-1.
They'd go on to win 9-1. Steve Stewart on the call, last heard here on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio. Royals win a series for the first time in a month and a half, and they do it against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Go figure. Look, you split with the Rays. You salvage one against Cleveland. You beat the Dodgers 2 out of 3. You're getting solid pitching. My biggest takeaway, though, from this, a 10-game stretch, right? 4-3-3, yeah. My takeaway from this 10-game stretch in which you're 5-5 has been the offensive execution. How often have you seen guys up there swinging for the fences? Not very often. If you're dialed in, if you remain locked in for the past 10 games, you're not seeing guys swinging, trying to hit 5-run home runs. You're not seeing guys look up, get dejected by their batting average, and then try and add 100 points to it with one swing. Now you're seeing Bobby go the opposite way. You're seeing MJ Melendez take his walks. You're seeing Nick Prado take his walks, go to the opposite field. Congratulations to Salvador Perez earlier today, named to his 8th All-Star game. And I'm reminded of last night's win. Bobby Witt Jr. called into the postgame show last night. Brady Singer called in today. If you missed it, it'll be on the podcast page under the All Things Vern podcast. And you can always get the postgame show. Download it right to your phone on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search All Things Vern. But Bobby called in last night and he was heaping praise on Salvi. Salvi, if you missed it last night, tagged up from third on a fly ball to right field to Mookie Betts. tested the arm of Mookie Betts. Will Smith does not get the tag down in time, and Salvi, a head-first dive into home plate. And as Bobby put it, it's July 1st. We're a last-place team, and you got an eight-time All-Star giving it his all out there. 100-degree heat. Salvi's playing like he's a rookie out there. And I was reminded of something that Ron Darling said, the New York Mets color analyst on the television side. He was talking about the Mets team. And he says, you know, it happens every single year. There's always a few teams where no matter what you do, you just always think the other shoe's going to drop. Or when you're losing, you just expect something bad to happen. There's always three or four teams that are just the bad luck teams that if our starting pitcher goes out there and throws seven innings of one-run baseball, the other pitcher's going to throw eight innings of shutout baseball. Now, just like there are teams where no matter how far behind you fall, you always feel like you're going to walk away victorious, there's the complete opposite side of that. There's the, even if you're up by five runs, you're still nervous that you could choke it away, that you could gag the win away. I bring that up because that type of energy from Salvador Perez, tagging up and testing Mookie Betts, the way that Salvi shows up to the clubhouse every single day. Guys, it's amazing. As someone that's lucky enough to be in there and see him walk in, as someone that at times walks into that clubhouse that I have no business being in, but as someone that walks into that clubhouse, sometimes in a bad mood, pouting because, oh, I'm tired or it's been a rough go for the team. And then you see Salvi with welts all over his legs. You know, he's taking a foul ball off the neck or off the forehead the night before. And he comes in looking clean in a very expensive suit, as you would assume. But smiling ear to ear, picking everybody up from the media to his teammates. Now, how can you have a negative attitude? How can you expect the other shoe to drop when Salvi, possible future Hall of Famers, acting like you're a team 30 games above 500, acting like, of course, we're going to win today? If you missed the story that Mike Sweeney told before the Tampa Bay Rays series, where Salvi stands up in front of the team and says, guys, I understand they got a bunch of all-stars and they got the great record, but we're big leaguers too. Let's go take it to them. Let's not ease into this thing. Let's be aggressive. Run the bases hard with energy and passion. Let's go win this series. And what do? They split the series with the formidable Tampa Bay Rays. Watching Salvi in the clubhouse demanding that his Venezuelan brothers speak English when talking with reporters. Getting in the face of Freddie Fermin or Edward Olivares or Carlos Hernandez. No. You can speak English fine. Go, do it. The way that he challenges, the way that he pressures his teammates, the way that he picks up his teammates. I haven't been around anyone in a baseball clubhouse like Salvi. I've been around great leaders. Now, Charles Woodson was a great leader when I was around him in Green Bay. Pudge Rodriguez in Detroit was, you know, solid on the field, but I've never seen someone on the field and in the clubhouse and on the bus and on the plane like Salvador Perez. So, obviously, well-deserved, an eighth All-Star game, and he's got to make room on that arm for another star. Salvi's got seven stars tattooed on his arm for each All-Star appearance. Going to need an eighth to fit in somewhere. Because he puts, you know, the world title, the World Series MVP, his Silver Sluggers, his All-Stars. His body is a story of his baseball immortality. And he's got another chapter to write. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Steven in DeSoto. Steven, I appreciate you hanging on. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, Bert, we all saw this coming, right? We're going to blow the doors off the Dodgers and the Rays. You know, this just bolsters my argument of it's time to blow up the wild card. It's time to – what I'm going to be interested watching for in this second half of the season is is our record in the second half. We get rid of the wild cards, give a bye to the division winners, and then you have six. You have a six-team sort of super wild card playoff of both first and second half divisions. I mean, imagine how much excitement there would be if you had another opening day about July 4th and you had playoff positions being decided at the end of last week or the beginning of this weekend. I mean, the attendance would probably double. I mean, you would have, if the Royals caught fire, if we catch fire like we might, we would be in contention all summer long. Is there any reason why they won't do that except TV deals? Is there any reason why we can't have a first and second half playoff, like a first half playoff qualification, second half?
Steve, appreciate the phone call. I mean, the answer is always money, TV money. So yeah, you're more than likely right. But I'm with you. I've always been a fan of, you know, first half, second half. If you win both halves, you get a bye. If you win one half and let, you know, Royals win the second half, they win the American League Central Division, and, you know, White Sox win the first half. Yeah, I'm in favor of that. Gives every team a reset midway through the season. I mean, I'm so into that, guys. I have, like, in front of me right now, I got a 3-page Word document of how I would completely alter the schedule. I don't want to bore you with it. I could talk for another hour of how I would change this Major League Baseball regular season. But yeah, it would come down to two trade deadlines, you know, first half and second half. Expansion, there would be 8 divisions total. Again, I think about this stuff way too much, Steve. But yeah, the answer is always money. Answer's always money, and money normally comes, the most money normally comes from television. You know, that's why they added, and you know this, that's why they added all those additional playoff spots. That's when people watch baseball, is in October. You watch your team throughout, locally, but the only time baseball's doing national numbers is in the postseason. The Dodgers likely will be in the postseason, although they're looking up right now with the Diamondbacks, and it doesn't look like Arizona's going anywhere anytime soon. San Francisco is just a well-rounded ball club, and they're likely to add at the deadline, so the Dodgers have some work to do. And reading some of the quotes coming out of that Dodgers clubhouse today, it's just amazing the different worlds in which two different professional baseball teams can live in, right? The Dodgers on the road this season are an even 500. They're 22-22 away from Dodger Stadium. They have a run differential on the road of 0. They've scored 242 runs and they've given up 242 runs. A very downtrodden Dave Roberts after this 9-1 loss to the Royals on Sportsnet LA had this to say about his Dodgers road record. Take a listen to this quote from the World Series champion player and manager, Dave Roberts.
I don't know, Bill. I don't know the road record. What I can speak to is this series, which is more fresh to me. Those guys just outplayed us. It's a different brand of baseball as far as, you know, putting the ball in play, hitting behind runners, stealing bases. They were excellent in situational hitting. And so, to be quite honest, we couldn't keep up. And that's how they beat us. That's how they won the series. But as far as, you know, overall.
No, I don't care about the rest. That's all I wanted to hear, Skip. Did you hear how he just described the 2023 Royals? Executing offensively, hitting behind the runners, taking the extra base, aggressive on the base paths. I mean, that's Royals baseball for, you know, I want to say my entire life. That's when the Royals are good, that's a description that you use. Mid to late 70s, mid 80s, mid teens. That's how you describe winning Royals baseball, and it was on display once again this afternoon as the boys win by a final score of 9-1. Royals Twitter takes us inside the clubhouse as Matt Quatrero makes the announcement that Salvi's heading to the Midsummer Classic.
As you guys know, there's been a lot of great players in the history of this organization, a lot of people that have done a lot of special things throughout the game. This person has done as much, if not more, than anybody for this organization in this city. And I'm not going to build this up too much, but for his eighth All-Star selection, Salvi's going to be on the record.
You say that, it's an honor, okay? It's a blessing. This was going to be my eighth time, but each one made a lot, especially for my family, you know, so it's something that I thank God for this. So I appreciate all you guys for the support.
Salvador Perez will be the Royals representative in 2 weeks in Seattle at the Midsummer Classic. Thanks to our sponsor, Rawhide Harley-Davidson, for all their support all season long for each and every one of these home games. Rawhide Harley-Davidson, the number one volume Harley dealer in Kansas. Phone lines are open for you. The text line is there as well. 913-586-7610. Let's go to our good buddy Dan in KCK. Dan, go ahead, pal. Yeah.
Hey, Josh, how you doing? Yeah, everybody pitched in today. A great job at the bottom of the half of the setting it up. And a great job by Garcia knocking in 4 hits, 2 RBIs, and Bobby with 2 RBIs. How about Singer going 7 innings to pitch? And congratulations to Salvi going to his eighth All-Star break. And that All-Star game, I mean, and let's go get him in the Target Field. Salvi needs, I think, 2 home runs for 20 career home runs at Target Field. Is that true? Josh, take care of yourself.
That sounds about right. I don't have that number in front of me, but I know Salvi owns Target Field. All right, let me run through the Jay Southland Tow Service text line real quick. Jeff in Blue Springs is wondering if it was as simple as moving Mikel Garcia to the leadoff spot. No, it's never that simple. Now, that helps, especially when he goes 4-for-4 today, 2-for-4 yesterday. But no, it's not that simple. It you know, Bobby getting Drew Waters back, getting Nicky Lopez a little bit more run. There's a lot that goes into it. Quality pitching, right? Having confidence that, hey, we don't have to score 9 runs to have a chance. And that was a fact. It felt like, well, you knew you had to score 6 runs to have a chance when you showed up to the ballpark for the first 3 months of this season. And the boys played like it. The hitters played like it. That's why you saw them trying to hit 6-run home runs, trying to flip the win-loss record with one swing of the bat. Everyone was trying to do a little bit too much, both on the mound and at the dish. From the 913, Vern, it was nice seeing the Dodgers wave the white flag. Yeah, sure was. Rally Mantis cheering on his boy, Nicky Lopez. Joey in Grain Valley, I appreciate you listening. From the 623, Verna, haven't heard Rex Hudler use the phrase frenzied hitting since the days of the Locaine Triangle. Today was one of the few times we got great pitching and great offense in the same game. Signed, Scott in Phoenix. Elizabeth in Nebraska writes in, Vern, we're undefeated in July. Brady Singer's 2-0 against the Dodgers, and I wore my Brady Singer jersey today. All right. Well, Elizabeth, you better wear that jersey again when he takes the hill next weekend in Cleveland. They're also undefeated since they got rid of Aroldis Chapman. That has nothing to do with it. John in Mission. John writes in, Vern, we talk about proving you belong. Well, our boys in blue just beat the tar out of one of the most talented teams in baseball in the most impressive team victory of the season. You gotta love it. Vern, let's get our first winning streak of the year tomorrow. Yeah, how about that? Royals with a chance at a winning streak. Yeah, if you're unaware, Royals have not won 3 games in a row all year long. And it's not going to be easy. Joe Ryan, the former Tampa prospect, traded to Minnesota, You don't see the Rays lose many trades. They lost that one. They acquired half a season of Nelson Cruz and gave him Joe Ryan. So tomorrow it's Joe Ryan going opposite Austin Cox. It's a 7:10 first pitch, and I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 6 o'clock with your chance to win a pair of tickets to Bo Jackson Bobblehead Night at Kauffman Stadium. So yeah, if the Royals are going to put together their first winning streak of 2023, it's going to be on the back of Austin Cox, who makes his second big league start, going opposite Joe Ryan. Again, first pitch is at 7:10, and I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 6. Sorry I wasn't able to get to all the text messages today. Henry from Topeka, Kathy in Los Angeles, Elliot in Des Moines. Appreciate you guys listening. Chris in Topeka, Riley in Lotawana, Kathy in Raytown, Ryan in Pleasant Hill. I love you all. Thank you very much for listening. Colin Settle, thanks for the help back at the studio. Royals, great job today, boys. Great homestand.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Diving is MJ Melendez. Did he make that catch? He did!
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
And a swing and a miss. He struck him out with a fastball. Seventh strikeout for Daniel Lynch.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Vern's postgame show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
So far, there's a swing and a liner down the left field line. It is hooking and it is going to be a fair ball in the corner. Extra bases and an RBI. MJ scores from third. It's a double down the left field line for Drew Waters. Back-to-back doubles. And the Royals lead it 5-1.
They'd go on to win 9-1. Steve Stewart on the call, last heard here on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio. Royals win a series for the first time in a month and a half, and they do it against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Go figure. Look, you split with the Rays. You salvage one against Cleveland. You beat the Dodgers, 2 out of 3, you're getting solid pitching. My biggest takeaway, though, from this, 10-game stretch, right? 4-3-3, yeah. My takeaway from this 10-game stretch in which you're 5-5 has been the offensive execution. How often have you seen guys up there swinging for the fences? Not very often. If you're dialed in, if you remain locked in for the past 10 games, you're not seeing guys swinging, trying to hit 5-run home runs. You're not seeing guys look up, get dejected by their batting average, and then try and add 100 points to it with one swing. Now you're seeing Bobby go the opposite way. You're seeing MJ Melendez take his walks. You're seeing Nick Prado take his walks, go to the opposite field. Congratulations to Salvador Perez, earlier today named to his 8th All-Star game. And I'm reminded of last night's win. Bobby Witt Jr. called into the postgame show last night. Brady Singer called in today. If you missed it, it'll be on the podcast page under the All Things Vern podcast. And you can always get the postgame show. Download it right to your phone on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search All Things Vern. But Bobby called in last night and he was heaping praise on Salvi. Salvi, if you missed it last night, tagged up from third on a fly ball to right field to Mookie Betts. Tested the arm of Mookie Betts. Will Smith does not get the tag down in time. And Salvi, a head-first dive into home plate. And as Bobby put it, it's July 1st. We're a last-place team. And you got an 8-time All-Star giving it his all out there. 100-degree heat. Salvi's playing like he's a rookie out there. And I was reminded of something that Ron Darling said, the New York Mets color analyst on the television side. He was talking about the Mets team. And he says, you know, it happens every single year. There's always a few teams where no matter what you do, you just always think the other shoe's going to drop. When you're losing, you just expect something bad to happen. There's always three or four teams that are just the bad luck teams that if our starting pitcher goes out there and throws seven innings of one-run baseball, the other pitcher's going to throw eight innings of shutout baseball. Now, just like there are teams where no matter how far behind you fall, you always feel like you're going to walk away victorious, there's the complete opposite side of that. There's the, even if you're up by five runs, you're still nervous that you could choke it away, that you could gag the win away. I bring that up because that type of energy from Salvador Perez, tagging up and testing Mookie Betts, the way that Salvi shows up to the clubhouse every single day. Guys, it's amazing. As someone that's lucky enough to be in there and see him walk in, as someone that at times walks into that clubhouse that I have no business being in, but as someone that walks into that clubhouse, sometimes in a bad mood, pouting because, oh, I'm tired or it's been a rough go for the team. And then you see Salvi with welts all over his legs. You know, he's taken a foul ball off the neck or off the forehead the night before, and he comes in looking clean in a very expensive suit, as you would assume, but smiling ear to ear, picking everybody up from the media to his teammates. How can you have a negative attitude? How can you expect the other shoe to drop when Salvi, possible future Hall of Famers, acting like you're a team 30 games above 500, acting like, of course, we're going to win today? If you missed the story that Mike Sweeney told before the Tampa Bay Rays series, where Salvi stands up in front of the team and says, guys, I understand they got a bunch of all-stars and they got the great record, but we're big leaguers too. Let's go take it to them. Let's not ease into this thing. Let's be aggressive. Run the bases hard with energy and passion. Let's go win this series. And what do? They split the series with the formidable Tampa Bay Rays. Watching Salvi in the clubhouse demanding that his Venezuelan brothers speak English when talking with reporters. Getting in the face of Freddie Fermin or Edward Olivares or Carlos Hernandez. No. You can speak English fine. Go, do it. The way that he challenges, the way that he pressures his teammates, the way that he picks up his teammates. I haven't been around anyone in a baseball clubhouse like Salvi. I've been around great leaders. Now, Charles Woodson was a great leader when I was around him in Green Bay. Pudge Rodriguez in Detroit was, you know, solid on the field, but I've never seen someone on the field and in the clubhouse and on the bus and on the plane like Salvador Perez. So, obviously, well-deserved, an eighth All-Star game, and he's got to make room on that arm for another star. Salvi's got seven stars tattooed on his arm for each All-Star appearance. Going to need an eighth to fit in somewhere because he puts, you know, the world title, the World Series MVP, his Silver Sluggers, his All-Stars. His body is a story of his baseball immortality. And he's got another chapter to write. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Steven in DeSoto. Steven, I appreciate you hanging on. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, Bert, we all saw this coming, right? We're going to blow the doors off the Dodgers and the Rays. You know, this just bolsters my argument of it's time to blow up the wild card. It's time to – what I'm going to be interested watching for in the second half of the season is our record in the second half. We get rid of the wild cards, give a bye to the division winners, and then you have a six-team sort of super wild card playoff of both first and second half divisions. I mean, imagine how much excitement there would be if you had another opening day about July 4th and you had playoff positions being decided at the end of last week or the beginning of this weekend, I mean, the attendance would probably double. I mean, you would have, if the Royals caught fire, if we catch fire like we might, we would be in contention all summer long. Is there any reason why they won't do that except TV deals? Is there any reason why we can't have a first and second half playoff, like a first half playoff qualification, second half?
Steve, appreciate the phone call. No. I mean, the answer is always money, TV money. So yeah, you're more than likely right. But I'm with you. I've always been a fan of, you know, first half, second half. If you win both halves, you get a bye. If you win one half and let, you know, Royals win the second half, they win the American League Central Division, and, you know, White Sox win the first half. Yeah, I'm in favor of that. Gives every team a reset midway through the season. I mean, I'm so into that, guys. I have, like, in front of me right now, I got a 3-page Word document of how I would completely alter the schedule. I don't want to bore you with it. I could talk for another hour of how I would change this Major League Baseball regular season, but yeah, it would come down to two trade deadlines, you know, first half and second half. Expansion, there would be 8 divisions total. Again, I think about this stuff way too much, Steve. But yeah, the answer is always money. Answer's always money, and money normally comes, the most money normally comes from television. You know, that's why they added, and you know this, that's why they added all those additional playoff spots. That's when people watch baseball, is in October. You watch your team throughout, locally, but the only time baseball's doing national numbers is in the postseason. The Dodgers likely will be in the postseason, although they're looking up right now with the Diamondbacks, and it doesn't look like Arizona's going anywhere anytime soon. San Francisco is just a well-rounded ball club, and they're likely to add at the deadline, so the Dodgers have some work to do. And reading some of the quotes coming out of that Dodgers clubhouse today, it's just amazing the different worlds in which two different professional baseball teams can live in, right? The Dodgers on the road this season are an even 500. They're 22-22 away from Dodger Stadium. They have a run differential on the road of 0. They've scored 242 runs and they've given up 242 runs. A very downtrodden Dave Roberts after this 9-1 loss to the Royals on Sportsnet LA had this to say about his Dodgers road record. Take a listen to this quote from the World Series champion player and manager, Dave Roberts.
I don't know, Bill. I don't know the road record. What I can speak to is this series, which is more fresh to me. Those guys just outplayed us. It's a different brand of baseball as far as, you know, putting the ball in play, hitting behind runners, stealing bases. They were excellent in situational hitting. And so, to be quite honest, we couldn't keep up. And that's how they beat us. That's how they won the series. But as far as, you know, overall.
No, I don't care about the rest. That's all I wanted to hear, Skip. Did you hear how he just described the 2023 Royals? Executing offensively, hitting behind the runners, taking the extra base, aggressive on the base paths. I mean, that's Royals baseball for, you know, I want to say my entire life. That's when the Royals are good, that's a description that you use. Mid to late 70s, mid 80s, mid teens. That's how you describe winning Royals baseball, and it was on display once again this afternoon as the boys win by a final score of 9-1. Royals Twitter takes us inside the clubhouse as Matt Quatrero makes the announcement that Salvi's heading to the Midsummer Classic.
As you guys know, there's been a lot of great players in the history of this organization, a lot of people that have done a lot of special things throughout the game. This person has done as much, if not more, than anybody for this organization in this city. And I'm not going to build this up too much, but for his eighth All-Star selection, Salvi's going to be on the record.
Okay, it's a blessing. This was gonna be my eighth time, but each one made a lot, especially for my family. You know, so it's something that I thank God for this. So I appreciate all you guys for the support.
Salvador Perez will be the Royals' representative in 2 weeks in Seattle at the Midsummer Classic. Thanks to our sponsor, Rawhide Harley Davidson, for all their support all season long for each and every one of these home games. Rawhide Harley Davidson, the number one volume Harley dealer in Kansas. Phone lines are open for you. The text line is there as well. 913-586-7610. Let's go to our good buddy Dan in KCK. Dan, go ahead, pal. Yeah.
Hey, Josh, how you doing? Yeah, everybody pitched in today. A great job at the bottom of the half of the setting it up. And a great job by Garcia knocking in 4 hits, 2 RBIs, and Bobby with 2 RBIs. How about Singer going 7 innings to pitch? And congratulations to Salvi going to his eighth All-Star break. And that All-Star game, I mean, and let's go get him in the Target Field. Salvi needs, I think, 2 home runs for 20 career home runs at Target Field. Is that true? Josh, take care of yourself.
That sounds about right. I don't have that number in front of me, but I know Salvi owns Target Field. All right, let me run through the Jay Southland Tow Service text line real quick. Jeff in Blue Springs is wondering if it was as simple as moving Mikel Garcia to the leadoff spot. No, it's never that simple. Now, that helps, especially when he goes 4-for-4 today, 2-for-4 yesterday. But no, it's not that simple. It you know, Bobby getting Drew Waters back, getting Nicky Lopez a little bit more run. There's a lot that goes into it. Quality pitching, right? Having confidence that, hey, we don't have to score 9 runs to have a chance. And that was a fact. It felt like, well, you knew you had to score 6 runs to have a chance when you showed up to the ballpark for the first 3 months of this season. And the boys played like it. The hitters played like it. That's why you saw him trying to hit 6-run home runs, trying to flip the win-loss record with one swing of the bat. Everyone was trying to do a little bit too much, both on the mound and at the dish. From the 913, Vern, it was nice seeing the Dodgers wave the white flag. Yeah, sure was. Rally Mantis cheering on his boy, Nicky Lopez. Joey in Grain Valley, I appreciate you listening. From the 623, Verna, haven't heard Rex Hudler use the phrase frenzied hitting since the days of the Locaine Triangle. Today was one of the few times we got great pitching and great offense in the same game. Signed, Scott in Phoenix. Elizabeth in Nebraska writes in, Vern, we're undefeated in July. Brady Singer's 2-0 against the Dodgers, and I wore my Brady Singer jersey today. All right. Well, Elizabeth, you better wear that jersey again when he takes the hill next weekend in Cleveland. They're also undefeated since they got rid of Aroldis Chapman. That has nothing to do with it. John in Mission. John writes in, Vern, we talk about proving you belong. Well, our boys in blue just beat the tar out of one of the most talented teams in baseball in the most impressive team victory of the season. You gotta love it. Vern, let's get our first winning streak of the year tomorrow. Yeah, how about that? Royals with a chance at a winning streak. Yeah, if you're unaware, Royals have not won 3 games in a row all year long, and it's not going to be easy. Joe Ryan, the former Tampa prospect, traded to Minnesota. You don't see the Rays lose many trades. They lost that one. They acquired half a season of Nelson Cruz and gave him Joe Ryan. So So tomorrow it's Joe Ryan going opposite Austin Cox. It's a 7:10 first pitch, and I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 6 o'clock with your chance to win a pair of tickets to Bo Jackson Bobblehead Night at Kauffman Stadium. So yeah, if the Royals are going to put together their first winning streak of 2023, it's going to be on the back of Austin Cox, who makes his second big league start, going opposite Joe Ryan. Again, first pitch is at 7:10, and I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 6. Sorry I wasn't able to get to all the text messages today. Henry from Topeka, Kathy in Los Angeles, Elliot in Des Moines. Appreciate you guys listening. Chris in Topeka, Riley in Lotawana, Kathy in Raytown, Ryan in Pleasant Hill, I love you all. Thank you very much for listening. Colin Settle, thanks for the help back at the studio. Royals, great job today, boys. Great homestand.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Diving is MJ Melendez. Did he make that catch? He did!
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
And a swing and a miss. He struck him out with a fastball. Seventh strikeout for Daniel Lynch.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.